May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So we've entered into this most holy season of Lent. And probably like many of you, I've taken on Lenten disciplines, although I have to say I didn't begin until yesterday. I was a bit late out of the starting gate. But I've taken on these disciplines, as I'm sure many of you have. And these disciplines are a good thing as long as we don't think that they are the end and purpose of Lent. Our disciplines are not the ends in themselves. They are merely a means to an end. Our disciplines are a means to an end. Ideally, Margaret, Mia, and I would have led you out into the wilderness for 40 days. You'd have set aside your jobs and school, and we would have gone out into the wilderness together to spend 40 days and 40 nights doing serious spiritual work. Serious spiritual work. But I think we might be rather lonely if we tried to do that. So instead, we adopt these spiritual disciplines. They're a framework for us to remind us about this serious season that we've entered into and the serious spiritual work we need to do. When I want to reach for a glass of beer, I'm reminded, no, we're in this season. There's work to be done. It's the framework of this business. So what is this serious spiritual business? What is the purpose of our Lenten journey together? A few weeks ago, I was reading the newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, as I do every morning. And as I flipped through, I came to the opinion pages and there read an article and thought, this is what Lent is about. This is what Lent is all about. It was an article that I guess some of you may have seen. It's entitled, I Wish I'd Never Met Rick Singer. Remember who Rick Singer is? The college admissions guy. And the article is written by a man called Doug Hodge, who last month in February was convicted to 9 months in prison for paying bribes to get his kids into college. And Doug Hodge, as some of you may also know, was the CEO of one of America's biggest investment companies, Pacific Investment Management Company. And this article is written by him. It's such an interesting article because it's part confession, part honesty, part delusion as well. You know, there's honesty in it, admitting that he'd done wrong. There's apology in it, but there's also a lot of blame on Rick Singer, on the tempter in all this, an attempt to absolve himself to a certain extent. But as I read the article, what popped into my head was, this is how it works. This is how sin and temptation works. This is how temptation works in the lives of people who are otherwise honest and good people. This is an article that all of us sitting in church need to read. This is an article about how good people with good intention, like all of us sitting in this church today, this is how Satan leads us down the path to perdition. And there were three things that I gleaned from this article about how temptation worked. Three different things. And I want to share those with you. The first thing is that Satan and temptation works in places that are otherwise good in our lives. The devil doesn't tempt people like you and me to go and shoot someone or rob a bank. He's way too smart for that. We're attacked in the very places that are important and dear and good in our lives. And so with Doug Hodge, where was he attacked? Through his children. There are many parents I see around here, many parents who are involved in college admissions. You know, my daughter's just gone off to college, and God, you know, it's such an important thing as parents to get your kids into the right college. You know, we paid a tutor. Not maybe not bribes, but we paid someone to help our kid get into college. And this is where Doug Hodge, where Satan worked through Doug Hodge. Something that on the surface is good, is good. So we need to pay attention to those areas. Those are the places we need to pay attention to in this season of Lent. The second thing is that the path to perdition, the road of temptation, is not some sudden smack in the face. It's not like with Doug Hodge, Rick Singer said to him all of a sudden, give me $500,000 and I will get your kid into college and I'll bribe your kid into college. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It began with small steps. Well, why don't we just, you just pay a bit of money here? Or if we just change the resume there? If we just do this? And all of a sudden, he found himself going down this road. It reminded me of the stories that we hear about how the KGB used to turn CIA agents or members of the public servants in America. They didn't run up to them and say, right, I want you to betray your country. Because of course you'd say no. It began by saying, well, why don't you just give us the phone number of someone? Well, that seems easy enough. Or why don't you just tell us a couple of people who might be traveling to Iran? Step by step by step. As C.S. Lewis says, the road to hell is a gentle, easy path with no sudden turns and no signposts. And I'm sure that Doug Hodge would attest to that. The third thing is that temptation is full of self-deceit. We lie to ourselves about what is going on. Because temptation happens in these good places. I'm caring for my kids. My ambition, of course, will serve the world. The fact that I want to be the Bishop of Canterbury. Oh, it's in everyone's interests. Nothing to do with me. Honest, Gov. That's how it works. And that's what Hodge talks about. He said, if I saw someone behaving like I did in my company, I would have fired them on the spot. But I allowed myself to deceive myself in this. Satan is subtle and dangerous. He's dangerous and subtle. The hard work of Lent for us is about looking at our lives and looking at those places where we are vulnerable. Family, ambition, whatever it may be, you know the place where you're vulnerable. Look hard during this time. Look at what the gradual steps may be for you. And ask yourself, how am I lying to myself about this? How am I lying to myself about this? But there's good news in all this. There's good news in all this. Because just as the road to hell is a gentle one, so is the road to being with our Lord. So is the road to following Jesus. And we don't go up along that road on our own. Jesus is walking with us. He is right beside us, both as we examine where we're tempted. The Lord is with us. The Lord is, Jesus is standing there helping us. And one of the things you can do as you go into this path of self-examination is imagine Jesus. Well, then imagine, because he is with you. Ask Jesus, Jesus, what? How am I in this situation? Jesus, what am I doing the right thing in this situation? But also the path to discipleship, the path to heaven, is also a gradual one. You don't come out of Lent becoming Mother Teresa. It's not how it works. It's asking yourself, so Lord, what is the next step that you want me to take on the path to discipleship? What is the next realistic step you want me to take? What is the thing that I can do to love my neighbor? What is the thing I can do to make sure that I'm always asking you, Jesus, what I need to do next? During this season of Lent, we're going to offer you many ways to help you in your journey. And Margaret's going to talk about many of the programs we have on offer. But one thing I want to mention is a 30-day journey that I'd like to invite you on, to those of you who wish to come on this 30-day journey of asking yourself simple questions about which help you identify that path of where the Lord might be leading you, how Jesus might be leading you on the path out of this Lenten season. And there are copies of this in the narthex, and also you can find it online if you look at my e-epistle letter, or also you can email me and I can send it to you. But the good news is, as we travel through this serious season, the Lord walks beside us, and we are never alone. Amen.